Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament and our Gospel text for today both sort of revolve around the same word. That word is vanity. It means to be worthless, to be futile. You see, the preacher in Ecclesiastes, that is King Solomon, he tells us, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And then, I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a striving after wind. Now let's remember who King Solomon is for a minute, right? This is the son of King David. He's the one who God promised would have more wealth, possessions, and honor than any king who came before and any king who would come after him. This was God's promise, at least the kings of Israel anyway. And so this is God's promise to King Solomon. He is going to have the most wealth, the most possessions, the most honor of any king. This is the same king who built a magnificent temple for the Lord to dwell in. According to 1 Kings 6, the entirety of the inside of this temple was made out of gold, or at least covered in gold. Golden altar, golden walls, golden floor, golden ceilings, golden chains hanging, golden decorations everywhere. Everything was encased in gold. Not only was Solomon blessed with physical blessings, you know, great earthly possessions, but he was given an extra measure of God's wisdom so that he could rule God's people faithfully. You see, if there is ever someone in the Bible who had everything, it was King Solomon. If there was anyone who could ever say, yeah, I'm kind of a big deal, it was King Solomon. And yet, what is King Solomon's confession? In Ecclesiastes, he says, all is vanity. Everything done under the sun is a striving after wind. If that's King Solomon's confession, when he basically had everything in this life at his fingertips, then Lord help the rest of us. See, how often in our world do we worry about our possessions? How often do we worry about our stuff? Cars, tractors, retirement packages, college funds, student loans, maybe leaving a lasting legacy for kids or grandkids. How often do we worry about all of this nonsense in this life? It's like we're striving after the wind. That is, have you ever tried to catch the wind? Literally, just try to reach out and grab it with your hands. I'll tell you, it doesn't work. You ever put your hand out the car window when you're driving? You can feel the wind, but as much as you might try to grab it, you can never quite hold on. It always just sort of slips through your fingers and blows onward. And so it is with all of our stuff, with all of the things that we try to accumulate in this life. They're eventually going to disappear. And so we are going to look at our gospel text just for a moment. You see, Jesus tells us about the vanity of our own lives. It's called covetousness. We all feel this sort of covetousness in our hearts because it's easy to compare what God has given us and our gifts to what God has given to somebody else. And then we wonder, why has God blessed someone else with all of this bountiful blessing and I'm left over here with my meager possessions? We want things that God has chosen not to give us. instead of being content with the blessings he has allotted. You see, all of our hard work on this earth, all of our worry, all of our striving for our stuff, all of our covetousness and wishing that we had more than the Lord has given us, it's all vanity. It's all worthless. It's all futile. It's all striving after the wind. Because the truth is that you can't take any of it with you. And doing all of these things and being so concerned about our earthly possessions, we're laying up for ourselves earthly treasures. And they'll just slip away. Now, before I continue, I want to make something clear. I don't want you to misunderstand, okay? The Lord has certainly provided jobs, certainly provided food, certainly provided money, certainly provided you with things that you have. You know, the things that we need to support our lives, and those are good things. And so don't think I'm trying to tell you that you shouldn't have any, you know, earthly possessions or you should sell it all and go be a monk somewhere. That's not what we're hearing in this text here. But instead, what we're hearing about is the gift of contentment. You need to be content with what God has blessed you with. Don't focus on what you lack, but focus rather on what you've been given. See, we heard these words in our text as well. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. You see, God has granted each and every one of you blessings in this life. If you're old, don't think about the youth that you can't have any longer. Instead, think about how God has richly blessed you with a full number of years on this earth. If you're young, don't think about all of the things you can't yet do. Instead, thank God for all of the blessings that are yet to come. It is so easy for us to look at our situation in life and long for something greater, long for something that God just isn't going to give us. My friends, be content with what God has given you right now. There are blessings right before your eyes that God wants you to enjoy right now. But for some reason, we always gravitate toward being discontent. We always gravitate toward wanting something we cannot have. Now, maybe today you're at one of the lowest points in your life. I'm not sure. And so contentment might be difficult. The truth is that that's okay. It's okay to have difficulty with contentment. In fact, the Lord knows that this life is filled with sin. Life isn't always going to be sunshine and daisies. In fact, most of the time, it's storm clouds and thorn bushes. But don't let the bad things that happen under the sun blind your eyes from the things that God has worked above the sun. See, here's the thing. God made the sun. Remember, God created the whole earth and everything that's in it. And after he created all, he rested for one day. And you know what he did after that day? He went back to work. On the eighth day, God went right back to work, sustaining his creation, preserving his creation, providing for his creation, making sure that all of the puzzle pieces were connected together, making sure that all of the moving parts were working for his people's good, making sure that you are provided for. Not the way that you want to be, but the way that God knows is best for you. You see, God works for you above creation. God works for you above the sun. And knowing everything that is great for you, and knowing everything that in this world will eventually pass away, what did he do above the sun? He secured a place for you right alongside him. not on this earth, but in heaven. And he did it by sending his Son, by sending you, Jesus. You see, Jesus comes to this earth and he is surrounded by the same sin that we are surrounded by. He's surrounded by sickness and death. He is literally immersed in this world of discontentment. And what does Jesus do? He serves you. He labors alongside you. He toils with you. He works there. And all along the way, he's content. He's content to serve in this world filled with storm clouds and thorn bushes. He's content to serve in this world that is filled with sin. And as Jesus reaches the end of his earthly ministry, he is content to go to the cross. Jesus is content to suffer and bleed and die for you. It doesn't mean he enjoyed it. It doesn't mean that it was anything spectacular. It didn't mean that he died with a smile on his face. No, the pain of the cross was real. The suffering of the cross is real. But he did it willingly. He never once thought to himself, gee, I sure wish I was one of those soldiers and I wasn't the one being crucified. No, he hung on that tree with contentment, with the blessings that he won for you. He knew what he was doing. He was giving you forgiveness, life, and salvation. And when Jesus' toiling was done, he rested. He rested for 3 days in a tomb. And you know what he did after he was done resting? He went back to work. And now he grants you his continued blessings. He is still working for you, making sure that you have all the physical blessings of this life and also the spiritual blessings of heaven. Jesus is making sure that the blessings of heaven come down to you to make you rich toward God. What are the heavenly blessings? What are the heavenly treasures? He gives you baptism, the promise of forgiveness, of eternal life. It makes you rich toward God. The promise of Jesus' body and blood comes to you to strengthen and sustain your faith. Why? To make you rich toward God. The very words of God himself are proclaimed to you through the pages of Scripture, through faithful pastors. Why? So that you can hear the words and believe them and be rich toward God. Everything Jesus does, he does for you. Not so that you can have earthly riches, but so you can have heavenly riches. So that you can be rich toward God. So know that today, you need not strive after the wind. For the very breath of God, the Holy Spirit has come to you to declare, your sins are forgiven. Your earthly needs are provided for. Your salvation is secure. Your eternal life is guaranteed in Jesus' death and resurrection. You are today, whether you know it or not, whether you enjoy it or not, whether you are happy today or not, you are rich toward God because of Jesus Christ. And it is only by the hand of God that the Lord makes you content in his promises. And my friends, there is no vanity. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.